Hello and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that is, has, and will always be about the issues of aging. What happens to us when we get older? How do we take care of mom? How do we take care of grandma? How do we make wise decisions for grandma? How do we make sure that grandma gets the best care possible? How do we know the best facility? How do we know the best caregivers? How do we know the best people to handle all of this? How do we pick wise counsel? How do we do all the things that are associated with this? For 20 years, I've been preaching this on KFBK. I've been doing it for over 30. Assets and Aging is and remains California's single best source of information for the issues on aging. The question is, when are you going to do something about the inevitable? Or are you just going to keep pretending that it's all going to be okay? And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the long-term care fairy spreading fairy dust and making it all okay again, because that's what everybody thinks is going to happen. But we're going to talk about real people today and real events and reality and money and people who call me during the week that I just want to scream because they're so obtuse. I'll tell you about one in a little bit. But first, glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Have been for 20 years. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney. Preferably one that knows what the you-know-what they're doing and talking about. And there aren't that many of those around. You know, everybody assumes that just because somebody has JD after their name, they're brilliant. Remember the bell curve. In any population, you have 80%, 60% mediocre, 20% average, 20% exceptional, and 20% ridiculously bad. So why do we assume it's any different with any group of people, whether it's teachers or stockbrokers or attorneys or accountants? We just assume that because somebody's got a license or something after their name, that they must be the best there is. That's a false assumption if you understand anything about a bell curve. And I happen to believe in bell curves. I think they're still statistically sound. If you don't know what a bell curve is, go look it up. And then figure out what part of the bell curve your doctor is under. So I don't practice legal. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. I'm not an attorney. Not securities licensed. Don't want to be. Not a CPA. Don't give tax advice. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. And that license is located in Sacramento County, and my bond is in Sacramento County. I'm a licensed notary, and I cannot rototill your backyard. Well, I probably could, but I don't have a rototiller. I used to have a rototiller, but I don't anymore. So everything I talk about here is intended to be and is my opinion only and should never, ever be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. If you have those kinds of questions, call somebody. I have a couple subjects today. It's kind of an eclectic show. Again, I want to talk about, for a minute, people I like. My favorite assisted living is Aegis of Carmichael. My favorite nursing home is College Oak. Just went to a new restaurant today in Roseville I like a lot called Thai Basil. They don't give me any money. I liked it. It was really good. I have lots of favorite authors. I have lots of favorite conductors. But the places I like are the places I like. One of the things I talk about always is, how do you pick the best places? Well, I know them. The other side of that coin is, I also know the worst places and the worst people doing their job. So if you're not sure and you're confused by the subject, give me a call. I want to talk about a phone call I got this week. The topic of today's first part of today's show is called The Responsible Adult. In any circumstance I look at, I'm trying to figure out who in the family is the responsible adult. I'll be sitting with family sometimes, and dad and mom will be there, and the two kids will be there, and dad clearly has dementia, and we're talking about everything, and we're trying to figure out what to do. And guess what? Every time I say, well, what do you think about that? Guess what everybody says? Come on, see if you can figure it out. Well, dad, what do you think? And dad has dementia. And yet they're all asking dad his opinion, and no one else will voice their opinion. They're terrified. And by the way, sons are worse at this than daughters. Sons have a terrible time trying to make decisions about their moms. When I start talking about the icky stuff, sons leave the room. Daughters tend to, women tend to understand the icky stuff better. And if you want to know what the icky stuff is, I can talk about it later. So one of the hardest things to do, and people who are elder law attorneys and who do this will tell you this is one of the hardest things to do, is to determine not only who your client is, but who's the responsible person in the room. And it may not be mom, and it may not be dad, but Bob, that can't be. It's my daddy. My daddy he's the responsible, but your daddy doesn't know what planet he lives on. And your daddy thinks that you live in Indiana. And your daddy forgot that you had breakfast with him this morning before you came over to my office. But he's my father. I know, but he's not the responsible adult. So one of the things you have to do in all of this, my son who does my website stuff sent me a prototype. Boy, is it going to be cool. My first three blogs are up. My first video is up. We're just tweaking some stuff because we're going to have a membership-only section. And so we're tweaking some stuff, but it's going to be really cool. Well, one of my blogs that I'll be doing is, and one of my videos is on identifying the responsible adult. It's really important. And everybody's terrified. Well, I can't do that. What will my mom say? Your mom can't balance the checkbook and has 27 credit cards because she signs up for every one that comes in the mail. And you wonder why she has a credit rating of 400 and you can't figure it out. By the way, I've had that more than once. Your mom says she's not getting any mail because she throws it away every week because she thinks it's all every day because she thinks it's junk mail. But you think she's the responsible adult. Who's the responsible adult? There's three kids in the family. Guess who gets stuck with it? Usually the daughter. The other people don't want to be the responsible adults. I had someone call me yesterday who the children... It's a caregiver taking care, a friend taking care of this older lady. All the children basically don't want anything to do with her. And the friend doesn't have any authority, and the older lady has dementia, and she doesn't know what to do. The people who should be the responsible adults, the children, don't want anything to do with mom. And by the way, the tragedy is nobody else cares that this is going on. Adult Protective Services doesn't care. Nobody cares. The county conservator doesn't care. Nobody cares. So this friend is trying to take care of this older woman just to make sure she doesn't wind up living on the street. Because none of the other kids want anything to do with it. None of the kids want anything to do with it. So anyhow, I got a phone call the other day. I had talked to this lady a couple times, and she clearly was older and frail and needed some help, And I said, well, why don't you have your son call me? And I said, okay. So I got a phone call the other day from the son. And I said, how can I help you? And he said, well, what are you selling? And I said, I'm not selling anything. I have a radio program on this subject. And, well, what do you do? Well, if you go to my website, you can listen to my radio programs, and you can see what I do. And, well, are you just a money manager? I said, no, I don't do any money management. Well, is that what you usually do? Do you go to old people and you take care of managing their money? I said, I don't do money management. What part? Now, the whole time he's talking about this, because I've been doing this for a long time, folks, I can tell you that what he's really saying is he doesn't want to be responsible for his mom either. He doesn't want to be responsible. He's making me sound like some interloper or bad guy, but he doesn't want to be responsible. So I said, I talked to him for a while because I cared about the older person. And we talked a little bit more, and I said, well, do you have an attorney? And he said, well, yeah, my mother does. Well, what's his name? Well, I'm not going to tell you that. I said, well, the only reason I want to know is if, depending on who it is, it may be somebody I know and you've got a really good attorney and I'll tell you to go talk to your attorney. Well, I'm not telling you that information. Why do you care? Well, because I don't want to waste my time and your time if you have a really good attorney who can help you. Well, I'm not giving you that information. My mom didn't give me permission to give you that. Well, what information do you want? Well, I want to know what you do. And I said again, I said, you know, you can go to my website and, well, describe to me what you do. And I said, well, and again, why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you the story not because I can't handle phone calls like that. I get them all the time. It's because what he's trying to do is distance himself from being responsible for his mother. He's trying to pass that to somebody else. Me, in this case, if he can blame me, he can say, well, see, there's no, you don't need any. So I said, does your mother have a trust? Well, yes. Well, do you know if you're the trustee? I'm sure that I am. I said, well, why do you always want to know about trusts? I said, well, because in my world, one of the most important things is if mom or dad or my relative or somebody I love can't manage their own life anymore, it becomes really, really important what your documents say, because what your documents say are going to determine who can take care of you and who can make decisions for you. And he said, well, I'm sure that's all fine. I'm sure that's all fine. I said, well, if your mom needed caregivers, can you sign a contract to hire them? Well, I don't know, but I'm sure that I can. I'm sure that I can. What all of this shows, and I don't want to beat the dead, you get an idea. I finally told him I couldn't help him and he should call somebody else. But my point in all of this, in lieu of my subject, was this is a person who didn't want to be the responsible adult. By not knowing what's going on, I can excuse myself because I can say, well, I don't know, but somebody knows. I'm sure it's all fine. So I'm now dismissed from any responsibility, and I see this in families all the time. It's couched in different ways. The senior says, well, I don't want to bother my children. I don't want to bother them. They have their own lives to live. I don't want to bother them. Which is the same as saying, I really don't want to talk about what's really going on in my life. I'd rather pretend. I'd rather pretend that this is perfect, and I don't want to bother them with the fact that this is really a storm that's brewing, and it's going to get worse. I see that a lot. Well, I don't want to worry my husband because you know my husband has a little dementia. And I don't want to worry him. You can't worry him. He has dementia. Who's going to take care of him when he gets really bad? I had somebody this week say that a relative had dementia. So one of the things I asked them is, well, does that person ever strike out at anybody? And they said, well, yes, sometimes we have to restrain that person. And I said, well, why? Well, because he's an alcoholic. And I had to end the discussion there by saying no facility in town, no nursing home, no assisted living facility is going to take someone who's an alcoholic. So the family, somebody has to step up in the family, become the responsible adult, and deal with the real issue. What I hear from children all the time is, well, my dad, mom and dad don't like talking about this, so I don't want to talk about it. That's the way that the children get out of being the responsible adult. That then excuses them. They're now blaming mom and dad for getting old, and they don't want to talk about it. Therefore, I'm no longer responsible for the storm that's coming and when it hits. When the ship starts to sink, it won't be my fault because I excused myself by saying, by the way, I'm not a shrink. I've just been doing this for a long time. I can excuse myself by saying, well, mom and dad don't, you know, they don't really want to talk about this. It makes them uncomfortable. Well, you know, when I try to talk to mom about this, she says, well, I don't want to worry you kids, so don't worry about it. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you listening to me have ever had to take care of an adult? A parent, a grandparent, an aunt, a spouse? How many of you? Raise your hands. It's every one of you. It's every one of you at one point or another has been tasked with being the responsible adult. When you take your mom to follow the ambulance to the hospital because your dad fell and your mom's crying and you go to the hospital, are you prepared for the avalanche of stuff you're going to have to deal with? This coming Saturday, the 6th, I got a workshop on admission versus observation. It's not free. It's $35. I've done two of these. This will be my last one for the year. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't know the difference between observation and admission, you're in deep trouble. Because not knowing those two words could cost your family $10, $20, $15, $30, $50,000. No, I'm not making that up. If you don't understand the difference between observation and admission, you are leaving you and your family open to a large financial loss, potential financial loss. That's what I mean by being ready. I just sent a blog to my son that'll go up on my new website here shortly, and it's called "The Ambulance is on the Way, What Do You Do Now?" And it's a page long of stuff you have to know. The ambulance is on the way. What are you going to do now? The ambulance is on the way. What are you going to do now? The ambulance is on the way. It's not off in the future somewhere. The ambulance is on the way. So what are you going to do now? You don't know? Why don't you know? Don't you think it would be a good idea if you knew what you were going to do when the ambulance is on the way? Do you even know where the advanced health care directives are kept? You're the kid. You live in Elk Grove and your mom lives in Grass Valley. Where's the advanced health care directive? Probably at her house. Do you know what meds she takes? Do you know who her doctor is? Do you have her doctor's phone number? You don't? Why? Why is that? Doorbell rang. Ignore it. So why is that? When the ambulance is on the way, you better have the answers to about 50 questions at your fingertips. But Bob, I don't like getting involved in that stuff. It makes my mommy uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. It makes everybody uncomfortable. And so. This is not about being comfortable. Here's my little sheet. I'm going to do this in the second half hour. I'm going to make you, if you want to know what you're going to have to do, I found it here in front of, sitting by my computer. So I'm going to talk about this in the second half hour. But if you don't know about all that, then how are you going to be the responsible adult? Are you willing to get involved in the icky stuff of overruling your parents because they raised you to be the responsible adult and you're not going to let them go down this road? I think I told you the story once. I had a lady in my office and her two children. And one of the questions I asked to kind of determine, you know, they'll say dad has some dementia. It's a non-professional question. It's just a question. And I'll say to them, well, little things like, does dad know your name? Does dad know the kids' names? Does dad know the grandkids' names? If I took dad two blocks away from home and put him on the corner, would he find his way home? And the wife said to me, well, yes, that actually happened. I said, I was caught back, and I said, what do you mean that actually happened? She said, well, we were in Whole Foods, and he went out the front door, and he couldn't find his way back to me. So we lived close, and he recognized it, and he walked home. I said, ma'am, and this is being the responsible adult. This lady was clearly not being the responsible adult. So I said to her, ma'am, do you understand what you just told me? And she said, well, you asked me if you could. I said, ma'am, you just told me he got lost in Whole Foods. He walked out the front door and he didn't know how to get in. He walked out the front door and he didn't know where you were. He walked out the front door and he was lost. And the two children who were sitting there sat up in their seats and went, whoa, we get it. We get it. The two children were willing, by the way, when they left, mom was still in denial about dad's dementia. She was not ready to become the responsible adult. They later came back, and it was the two children who had to become the responsible adult to protect mom, because mom couldn't do it. So in your family, who's the responsible adult? Point to them. Not who's the oldest, not who's got the college degree, not who lives closest, but who's going to be the responsible adult when all hell is breaking loose in your family. Who's it going to be? I don't know in your family. I really don't know. But you need to know, and you need to make sure that person that's going to be the responsible adult, you've given them the authority that they're going to need to be the responsible adult. That's what the son who didn't understand, who called me and kept bugging me about, well, why do you care about documents and why are you so? Because if you're going to be the responsible adult, you have to know that. And instead the answer was, well, I'm sure everything's fine, which is another way of saying, I don't want to be the responsible adult. I'll assume everything's okay, and I'll let circumstance be the responsible adult. If you'd like to make a change in that and make sure you have the tools to be the responsible adult, bring mom, bring dad, get to one of my workshops. My next workshop is on April the 6th. You can go to my website, you can sign up, you can call me at 800-999-8007. It is not free. It is $35 a person. There's going to be a ton of information, written and oral. It's going to be an hour to in 15 minutes to an hour and a half of in intense work. It's a workshop. So if you would like to know how to be prepared for the observation versus admission question and how that fits into the nursing home continuum and the assisted living continuum and the Medi-Cal continuum and the veterans benefits continuum, then you'll want to be at my workshop at 10:30 on Saturday, April the 6th. It's limited to 12 people. You can go online at assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com, 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 or you can call me at 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Get there, bring the family. If you're ready to become armed and the responsible adult, this is a good place to start. Saturday, the 6th of April, assetsandaging.com, 800 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You can get tickets online. You can call me and I'll send you tickets, but you have to have tickets to get in. There's no walk-ins. And again, this one is $35 a person. A lot of my workshops are free. This one is not because of the amount of information. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the ambulance is on the way. What do you do? One of the steps to becoming the responsible adult in your family. We'll be back after a couple minutes here. Chance for the station to make a little money, give you the weather and the traffic. We'll be back here in just a second on Assets and Aging. Welcome to Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging. Welcome to our second half hour. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad to have you with us. We talked in the first half hour about the responsible adult. We're going to continue with that theme. We're going to continue with the theme of the responsible adult, identifying that person in the family. We're going to talk about that a lot at my workshop on the 6th of April. That's this coming Saturday. We're going to talk specifically about the relationship between admission and observation in a hospital and how that impacts Medi-Cal and nursing homes and rehab and assisted living and VA benefits and all of that stuff. Because if you can't understand admission versus observation, you're going to be in deep trouble. It costs families tens of thousands of dollars a year, even because they thought Medicare was going to cover stuff, only to find out that Medicare does not cover what they thought it was going to cover. So if you want to understand admission versus observation, that's this coming Saturday at 10:30. It is not free. You have to have tickets to get in. The workshop is already half full. It'll cost you $35 per person to get in. You're going to find it worth it and like nothing else you've ever been to. So you can get to my workshop in one of two ways. You can call me at 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. And if you go to this next week, you might even be seeing my new website, because I'm really close to having it up. I looked at the template, the prototype yesterday, and gave it my approval. So anyhow, I want to continue with determining the responsible adult. I think it's the most important thing that families face as we get older and families wind up in crisis. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the first half hour, do so. By the way, you can listen to my radio shows and my podcasts and everything on my website. They're archived on my website. And in fact, quite often, my radio show is on my website before it's on the radio. If you missed the first half hour, you can always go back to assetsandaging.com and you can listen to my radio shows and my podcasts on my website. So assetsandaging.com, or you can call me to get into the workshop, 800-999-8007. What I'm about to go through is something I call the ambulance is on the way. Do you and your family know the answers to all of these? You have to know the answers to these, folks. You have to. If somebody doesn't die, if somebody becomes frail, somebody has a stroke, breaks a hip, whatever it is, you have to know, and somebody in the family has to step up and know the answers to all of these. And I'm going to go through them, and they're not in any particular order. But if you have a stroke tomorrow, do your kids know where your bank accounts are? Do they know where your brokerage accounts are, or whoever's going to take care of you? Now, if you have no children, you have a whole nother set of problems, and you really should be at the workshop or contacting me, because you have a whole nother set of issues. So how many bank accounts, brokerage accounts, where are your stocks and bonds? Where are your IRAs? Do you have IRAs? Do your kids know where the IRAs are? Does your spouse know where the IRAs are? What if your spouse has dementia and you die first? Does your demented spouse know where your IRAs are? I never thought about that. You better think about it, because I see it 15 times a year where the well spouse dies first and the person with dementia is the person making all the decisions and they don't know anything. So what about life insurance? Do you have life insurance policies? Do they know who your agent is? Who's it with? Who's the beneficiary? Do you have annuities? With who? Who's the beneficiaries? Do you have pensions? Who are they with? Who can get to your pension information? Does your pension go to your wife or husband? Does your pension end when you die? Is there a life insurance benefit to your pension? Who knows that? By the way, I'm not out of the first sentence yet. So when we're determining the responsible adult, we're trying to determine who knows all this. Who is tasked in your family with knowing this? You have to know. If mom goes to the nursing home or to the home, what kind of mouthwash does she like? What kind of toothpaste does she like? Do you have pictures? We'll talk about prescriptions in a minute, but it reminded me. Do you know what prescriptions your mom is on? What's an easy way to do that? Take your phone and take pictures of your mom and dad's prescription bottles. So you have them on your phone. So when they go to the hospital and the ER doc, the first thing they said is, what meds is your mom on? These. Who's the owner of all the above? Who can sign? What are the amounts? What companies? What banks? Who's the beneficiary? Who can close accounts? Who can open accounts? Who can change accounts? Are the accounts in a trust? Who's the trustee of the trust? Who's in charge of all this stuff? Remember, nobody died in my story. People say all the time, well, if we die, my three kids are the beneficiary. Yeah, but you didn't die. So they're not the beneficiaries. What do you mean they're not the beneficiaries? They're only the beneficiaries if you die. You're the beneficiary if you're alive. So who can do all this? Who knows all this stuff? Who gets your pension? What are the tax implications of your pension and your IRA if you don't die? What happens if you have to start taking money out of the IRA to pay for care? What are the tax implications of that? Do you know? What if you have to cash an IRA in to take care of somebody? Do you know what the tax implications of that are? Who can file a tax return for your mom and dad if they can't? You starting to understand? I'm only through two sentences. What documents do you have? What do you mean, what documents? Well, do you have a will or a trust? Well, Bob, I have a will. And it says, when I die, everything goes to my three lovely children. Why don't I care about your will when you're on the way to the hospital? Come on, somebody say it. Because you're not dead. And wills only go into effect when you're dead. Wills have no living benefits. They don't help with the bank account when you're alive. They don't help make medical decisions when you're alive. So what documents do you have? Do you have a will or a trust? What kind of trust? Do you have a revocable trust or an irrevocable trust? And do you know the difference between all of those? Do your kids know the difference? Who's the responsible person in your family? Do they know all this stuff? When I do family conferences, this is one of the things we cover. And the parents don't want to tell the kids, and the kids are amazed that their mom and dad have all this stuff. And they're going, what will we do if something happened? We don't know about any of this stuff. I'm going to give you one that comes up a lot. Guns. Did dad died and dad had guns? Do you know how to dispose of guns? Do you just give them to somebody? Do you just sell them? Did you know there's rules? Do you put an ad on Craigslist? How do you dispose of guns, and who has the authority to deal with guns if dad has a stroke or if dad dies? That comes up more often than you would think. Who's the responsible adult that knows this stuff? Who's the trustee of your trust? Who's the trustee today? Who's the trustee if you die? Who's the trustee if you're incompetent? Who are they? They're different. They could be different. They could be the same. They could be different. Do you know the difference? Who can amend or revoke your trust? That's really important. Who can do that? Can you do that as a child? Can you do that using a power of attorney? I don't know. But do you know? If you're a husband and wife, does it take both of you to amend and revoke the trust, or only one of you? So if dad has a stroke, does your revocable trust become an irrevocable trust? I don't know. Do you know? That's why people come to see me and why people come to my workshops. Are trust assets safe from claims, from lawsuits, from hostile family members? You like three of your kids, you don't like the fourth. What things have you done to protect that from a hostile family member? Maybe you have a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law you're not so crazy about. Who are the beneficiaries? Is there anyone excluded? What if one of your beneficiaries dies before you do? Then who gets their share? Do you know? Does your trust deal not only with the issues of dying, but the issues of frailty and disability? And do you understand the difference? And does that person in your family who's going to be the responsible adult, do they understand the difference? Who can deal with community property issues? We live in a community property state. What if one spouse just becomes incompetent? Generally, everything is still community property. Who can deal with that? Do you have powers of attorney for property, health care, or both? Do you know? Are they immediate or springing? I'm not going to tell you what those words mean, but you need to know. Are they immediate powers of attorney or springing powers of attorney? Who did you name as the agent? Who's the alternate agent? What if you have four kids and you only name two? Are the other two going to be put out? Are the other two on your HIPAA authorization? You don't know? Why? And what happens when the kid or the parent or whoever that's going to be the responsible adult doesn't know the answers to all this stuff? Who can create, amend, or revoke a trust? Who can make gifts? Who can make funeral arrangements? Who can sign arbitration or mediation agreements? Why is that important? Well, if mom can't do anything, doesn't know what planet she's on, and you're going to put her in the assisted living facility, who's authorized to sign the contract? If there's a mediation or arbitration agreement part of the contract, who's authorized to sign that or deal with it? I don't know. Do you know? Does your responsible adult know? Children, do you know this for your parents? Here's a big one. Who can manage pets? What happens to little Sparky? What happens to a 15-year-old horse who's got another 15 years to live? What happens to the cat? What happens to the six cats? What happens to the ashes of the three animals that mom had created after they died, and she now wants those ashes buried with her? I'm not going to tell you what the rules say, but do you know what you would do in that case? You don't? What if your mom and dad had a rental? And dad died and mom's incompetent. Who can collect the rent? Who can sign a rental agreement? Who could sell the rental? And then what would they do with the money? And are they empowered to do that? Who applies for government benefits if you need them? Like Medicare or Medi-Cal or Medicare supplements or VA or whatever. Who can apply for government benefits for you? And do they know how to do it? Would they know who to go to if that happened to you? You don't know? Why? If I'm getting boring, good. Because you have to know, and by the way, I'm not done yet. Can the agent make end-of-life decisions and/or donate organs? That's really important. Who has HIPAA authorization? Who can get your confidential medical records? Who knows your doctor's name and phone number? And then has access to your medical records? Who? You don't know? Don't you think that would be a good thing to know? I think it would be a good thing to know, but that's just me. Bob, we have a plot. We have a funeral plot. Okay. Who can open the plot? What do you mean? Well, somebody has to open the plot. Did you buy a funeral plan? Well, we have the plot. Well, who's picks the casket? Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be in an urn? Do you want to be scattered at sea? Do you want it to go to your daughter? I once had a case where there were four family members and they all fought over mom's ashes, and the attorney wound up dividing the ashes into four equal shares and sending 1/4 to each family member. I'm not making that up. I wish I was. Who's empowered to deal with funeral stuff? Who can make palliative care decisions, end of pain decisions? Who can deal with hospice? Who could sign a hospice contract? Do you want hospice? What are your end of life decisions? Does your responsible adult know the answer to all of that? Do you want a memorial service? Who can set it up? Who can pay for it? Who has access to your checking account to do that? Who are you going to invite? I don't like talking about this, but I'll talk about it anyhow. What if there's an autopsy? And sometimes there's an autopsy even if you don't want one. Who can deal with the autopsy and get the findings? Who can get death certificates? Who has drug allergies? So when mom goes to the hospital and they want to load her up with penicillin, do you know whether or not she's allergic to penicillin or something else? You don't? Who's the responsible adult in your family? Who can pick the facility? If mom needs a nursing home, how do they know which one to pick and who can pick it? Who's authorized to do that? Who's authorized to go inspect it? Who can pick the assisted living? Who can pick the nursing home? If you need a caregiver at home, who's authorized to hire a caregiver if mom can't or dad can't? Do you have a care contract? What's a care contract, Bob? Well, that's a really big deal. Let me tell you what a care contract is. Mom moves in with the daughter and her husband. Mom gets $1,000 a month in Social Security. Every month she gives the $1,000 to her daughter to take care of her for room and board and transportation and all that. It's perfectly fine. Mom then develops dementia, and so the daughter continues to have cash the checks and pay herself $1,000 a month because that was their agreement. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door, and it's Adult Protective Service saying someone at the bank turned you in and wants to know why you're stealing your mother's money. I'm not stealing mom's money. We had this agreement. Can I talk to your mom? Well, no, she's incompetent. Well, then you have a problem. That's what a care contract is. It's a contract in which mom and the daughter or whoever it is enter into an agreement that says for the rest of their life, mom agrees to pay the daughter, granddaughter, whoever it is, this amount of money. Have you made sure your children or loved ones know all of this? And there's more. Know everything I just talked about. Because that's what it's going to take to be the responsible adult. And there's other stuff I haven't put in on there, like making sure who can close passwords. Who can close your Facebook account? Do they know how to do it? If there's online banking, how can they take over your online banking so they can deal with that? How can they close your Gmail account? or your SureWest account, or your cable account, or your Dish account, or whatever. You get my point, right? Who can take the cable boxes back? Who can sell your jewelry? What do you mean? Well, who can sell your jewelry? Nobody wants your jewelry, but it might have value because of the gold or silver content. So who can sell your jewelry? Who can do that? Do you have savings bonds? Is the beneficiary dead? What do you mean, Bob? Well, a lot of people bought savings bonds, and the husband named his wife on the savings bonds, and the wife died. And now the savings bonds, who gets them? Who's authorized to deal with that? Who could open a probate? Who's authorized to open a probate if you needed one? My point in all this is not to overwhelm you. It's to get you to understand in real terms what it means to have a responsible adult, to have someone in the family who's going to be responsible for this. And then here's the key part, write this down. Giving them the tools that they're going to need. That's what the son who called the other day, wanting to know why I was interested in knowing who his attorney was and if mom had documents, was because he didn't get that if something happened to his mom, those documents were going to become his life. They were going to determine whether or not he could deal with his mom or whether a probate judge was going to deal with his mom. If his mom got sick, they were going to determine whether or not he can make medical decisions. Well, of course, in fact, he said to me at one point, I'm the son, I can make medical decisions for my mother. And I said, not necessarily, not unless your mom said you can. So who's going to be the responsible person? Who's the responsible adult in your family? Have we identified that person? Is everybody on the same page? Are the three kids all going to go, yeah, Jenny, we're going to support Jenny, but Jenny's agreed to be the responsible adult? Have the parents agreed to that? Have the three kids even approached the parents about this conversation? On the 6th of April, 10:30 in the morning, I'm doing a workshop in my office on admission versus observation and how that fits into the continuum that connects Medi-Cal, assisted living, nursing homes, Medicare, VA benefits, and everything flows from that. You've heard me talk about the chairs before. I'm going to describe the chairs in some detail at the workshop. This workshop is not free. But if you're the responsible adult, or you want to make sure you as a parent bring the responsible adult, then you'll want to be at the April the 6th workshop. It's not free. This one is $35 a person because there's going to be a lot of printed material. 800-999-8007 if you're ready to be the responsible adult. 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com. You can sign up there. Limit of 12 people. Last time I looked, I had 5 or 6 people coming. So I have 5 or 6, 7 seats left. I expect it will fill up. Most of my workshops usually do. There's only 12 people who can come because that's all the conference room will fit. When I send you the tickets, it will have the date, the time, the address, all that good information on it. So you don't want to miss my workshop on April the 6th. It'll be the last workshop this year on admission, specifically on admission versus observation. And now that fits into the continuum of long-term care, connecting together nursing homes, Medi-Cal, VA, all that kind of stuff. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. The single most important thing that you can do as a family, it really is determining who is the responsible adult. Who is the responsible adult? I don't know who that is in your family. It could be your mom. It could be your dad. It could be whoever it is. But when and where and who do you pick to be the responsible person in your family? Parents, it's time you let your kids in on the deal. Children, it's time you nosed your way in and said, Mom, I'm happy to take care of you, but you have to give me the tools so I can do the best job possible. You raised me to be a responsible adult. I'm willing to take on the task, but Mom and Dad, you have to give me the tools I need to do that. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. Sign up. You can also come in and see me. You can call me for an appointment. I do family conferences for free if you can't make it to the workshop. I'll have another workshop in April, so listen to this show, upcoming shows, and get on the list for my newsletter. If you're not on the list for my free newsletter, you can do that on my website, where I'll keep you informed of all that stuff. Thank you so much for listening. This is an important topic. Who's the responsible adult? 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. As always, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of Assets and Aging for 20 years. I look forward to seeing you here on the radio next week or at my upcoming workshop on the 6th. Otherwise, I hope you have a wonderful day and enjoy your family. Bye-bye.